Let's take our Bibles together and let's turn for our Bible study tonight to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs in the 9th chapter as we continue to look at 20 Proverbs that will change your life. We're going to look at the 9th chapter of the book of Proverbs and we'll begin our reading together in verse number 1. We're going to read 18 verses here and then we'll make our prayer. And we'll see what the Lord has for us this evening. Proverbs chapter 9 and beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewed out her 7 pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maiden. She crieth upon the high places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come eat of my bread and drink of my wine, which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. A foolish man is glamorous, she is simple, and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house on the seat, on a seat in the high places of the city, to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell." Let's pray. Father, I pray you would help us as we look at your word. And I pray, Heavenly Father, you would direct our thoughts tonight. And Lord, give me the words to say. I'm unable to help anyone through my own wisdom or understanding. Lord, we know it is your wisdom that makes a difference. And so, Father, I pray that you would give me the words to say, hide me behind the cross. Lord, is my intention that you'd be glorified in my efforts here tonight. Bind Satan and his demons. The Bible says if we are to take the home, then we need to bind the strong man. And so, Father, I pray that you would bind Satan, and I pray that your word would fall on good ground. It would spring up and grow in our hearts and in our lives. Again, thank you for this wonderful opportunity we have to be here tonight. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Charlie Brown's sister Sally approached her brother and declared, "I think I've discovered the secret of life. You just hang around until you get used to it." Now that's a worldly philosophy, obviously. A gentleman once wrote to Marilyn Vos Savant with a question about life. And Vos Savant is listed in the Guinness Book of World Records, the Hall of Fame for the highest IQ. And this particular person asked, was talking about their life and said that their life was more exhausting than they could ever imagine. And they wanted to know if this was normal, if this was a normal part of life. And Marilyn told him that his life indeed was normal and gave the following analogy about life. This is what she said life is all about. She said, "Much of the time, life is like going through the airport steering a loaded luggage cart with one bad wheel. Sometimes you just feel ridiculous. Sometimes you actually look ridiculous. And sometimes all you can do is just try to push it generally in the right direction." Now that's her philosophy of what life is all about. Now hopefully there's more to life than that. Hopefully there's more to life than just that. Hopefully there's more to life than just hanging around getting used to it or trying to push it in the right direction or generally in the right direction. Now, We'd be here all night if we took time and went through the entire Bible to talk about everything about life and what the Bible has to say about life. I think it's safe for us to say that life begins in Christ. He is life, and he's eternal life, and we need to know him as our Savior. For the Christian, we have abundant life. The Lord wants to give it to us. And so I think in Proverbs chapter 9, really what we have is a story of two invitations. And this invitation, or these invitations, are really given to all of us in this life. So we could say this is life in a nutshell, or this is, I call it, two invitations in life. I want to give you some thoughts. So number one, I want us to think about these invitations and think about that there are two calls in life. There are two calls in life. Now, the Bible begins to give us the story of life in chapter 9 of the book of Proverbs. In verse number 1, it said, "Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewed out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath set forth her maidens. She crieth unto the high places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come eat of my bread, drink of the wine which I have mingled." So the first invitation is that of the foolish. The second invitation is, the first invitation is the wise. The second invitation is the foolish. Now in verse 13, when we jump down our text, the Bible says, "A foolish woman is glamorous, she is simple and knoweth nothing. She sitteth at the door of her house, at the seat of high places of the city, and call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in pleasant in secret is pleasant." So two invitations that we have in this proverb. Two different types of people calling for us to come. Come hither is the thought. Now think about this. One is a feast, the other is a funeral. And all of us are confronted with this decision in our life. And even if we're not aware of it, all of us are confronted with this type of decision. First of all, there's the call of wisdom. Now wisdom has a fine house held up by seven pillars. The Bible illustrates for us. And this speaks of the stability that is given to us in wisdom. Now, the Bible illustrates wisdom, or a wise individual is someone that builds their house upon the rock. The waves beat upon it, but it's stable. It doesn't move. This is how wisdom is defined. So wisdom is a fine house held up by seven pillars. And it speaks of stability. Her house is away from the paths of normal human activity. Now, this is important. It's not in normal activity. The Bible says here, she has sent forth her maidens. So she has to go out and bring those to wisdom in. Now, this is a wonderful picture, by the way, of the gospel. The church is to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. So the Bible says that it's not a normal life. It's not an everyday life. They send out their servants to bring them into wisdom. She seeks them where they live and invites them to come to her place for a better life. Now, what is wisdom? Now, I think that looking around, all of us would understand that wisdom in the Bible is not talking about intelligence. It's not talking about IQ. Biblical wisdom is knowing, understanding, and living out the Word of God. Biblical wisdom is given to us by God through His Word to direct our lives. And that's why Jesus said, "A wise man is one that hears the sayings of mine, but doeth them." We hear the words of the Lord. We apply the words of the Lord to our life. This is true biblical wisdom. So a life of wisdom is a life lived in the truths of the Word of God. And the Bible has much to say through the Bible in various scriptures about the Word of God. I want us to turn to the book of Psalms and turn to Psalm 119, which this psalm is about the Word of God itself, and gives us wisdom concerning the Word of God. And the Bible says in Psalm 119, and there's many verses we could turn to, but I want to just draw your attention to one verse here tonight, 103. The Bible says, "How sweet are the words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." How sweet are the words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, that it's the Word of God that helps us to grow in our Christian life. So the wisdom of the Word of God is essential. The words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, is that we don't live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So the Word of God, this is fundamental in our in what we believe about our life. The Word of God is imperative to our success and to the wisdom that God gives to us. So two calls in life. There's the call of wisdom. The second call is the call of wickedness. Now, in context, we notice that folly also has a house in this passage of Scripture. But it is built where the fools are already living. In verse number 9, chapter 9 and verse 15, the Bible says to call passengers who go right on their ways. So there, if you can imagine, people are busy going here and there, and there is this call of wickedness right in the middle in the busy life that we live in. It makes it more convenient for people to follow the path of wickedness than the path of righteousness. And this is an interesting contrast that we have to understand. It takes far more effort to live a righteous life than to just follow the course of this world. You know, here's the reality, and I don't know if you realize this, I'm sure you did, but it takes effort to come to church. The reality is our flesh wants to stay home, right? Jesus came to his disciples who were supposed to be praying, and they were sleeping, and he said, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And the reality is that if we're not careful, we can get in that current of this world and we can get busy and sidetracked and we can forget about the priorities that really make us thrive in the Christian life. I remember when I first became pastor, I don't know if you remember this, but our services were on Thursday. And someone came to me and said, "Pastor, if you could move our services to Wednesday, then I would love to be a part of the Bible study." And I thought, you know, that would be a good idea. You know, more people, Wednesday night Bible study would be a good idea. So I moved the Bible study to Wednesday. Guess what? They never ever came on Wednesday. It's because if they didn't make the effort to come on Thursday, why would they make the effort to come on Wednesday? It takes just as much effort. And the reality is that there's always going to be something that is demanding our time. And if we don't set aside that time that this is the Lord's, we think about tithing our resources, we think about tithing our money, I think our time is the greatest asset that we have. I mean, we can make more money back, but you can't get time back. And how important it is to show the Lord our time and give Him our time. And so the Bible is this illustration here gives to us that the pathway of wickedness is easily accessible. And folly is presented in this passage of Scripture as a prostitute. She promises the fool a good time. This is the enticement of evil. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, that there is pleasure in sin. Listen, no one is saying there is no pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season, the Bible says. And so here we have this promise of good time, and people like water and electricity, they choose the path of least resistance, and we find that they naturally gravitate toward evil. Why? Because they have a sinful nature. And so within the realm of people, there's this call for wickedness. Ephesians chapter 2, Psalm chapter 58, verse 3, Ephesians chapter 4, they're all great passages of Scripture that illustrate that. The course of this world, we have the sinful nature, and it's easier for us to follow the path of wickedness than to follow the path of righteousness. So there's two calls, and then there's two choices that we have to make. The Bible says in verse 16, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And then the Bible says, whoso is simple, verse 4, let him turn in hither. So there's two choices that we have to make. And by the way, the Bible is filled with choices. You know, and I don't know what it is with this in this society, but we're so busy blaming other people for where we are in our life. And you know what? There are times that we find in the Bible where consequences are generational. But the reality is that we are the product of the decisions that we have made. And it's no one else's fault but our fault where we are in our life. And there are times when God chastens us and trials to test us. But we always have the decision of how we're going to respond to that chastening of the Lord. And so here's the two decisions that we have. The first decision is grounded in human understanding. The Bible says in verse 16, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding. So his pathway, the pathway of the foolish, this choice really requires no choice. I mean, it's within the sinful nature. It's easily accessible. It is merely man doing what he does by nature. He's just following this pathway. And we see that it's grounded in human understanding. The reality is that his desire here in this human understanding is to follow the understanding of the world. Now, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Let's jump ahead here, if you're still in the book of Proverbs, and turn to the 16th chapter in verse 25. I want you to notice this verse. It's a familiar verse and so true. The Bible says, verse 25, chapter 16, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. This is human understanding, my way. I want to go my way. I want to do my thing. This is the pathway of the foolish man. So one is grounded in human understanding. The other is grounded in heavenly understanding. Now, the Bible makes it clear that they come to an understanding of the person and the position and the power of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So listen, you're not going to walk in the wisdom of God until you first understand the person of the Lord Jesus. And until you first bow before him and submit your will to God's will. So the wise person has come to understand that one day they will stand before God. God is their judge, and they are accountable to him. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, that all of us one day will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And in Romans chapter 20, the Bible says that the unsaved will stand before God at the great white throne judgment. So the Bible teaches us that these two choices are, one is grounded in human understanding, my way, this is what I want, and the other is grounded in heavenly understanding, and that is acknowledging who God is. Let's look at our text again. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Remember, we cannot know ourselves until we know God. True wisdom and understanding always begins with God. And the Bible says that the fear of the Lord, reverence to who God is, respect to who God is the beginning of wisdom in our lives. Verse 11, for by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shall bear it. So one is grounded in human understanding, the other is grounded in heavenly understanding. So there's choices, there's a call, but then there's also two contrasts that we find in this life. So here's the contrast. There is the wicked man, and there's, you know, the Bible classifies this individual gives him a great description. And there are so many descriptions in the Bible about this individual we're talking about, this foolish man. But there's one description that is found in the Bible over and over again. And I hope and I pray, no matter how long you've been saved and no matter how old you are, I hope this is not a characteristic that is found in your life or my life. The one characteristic that is found in the foolish man is that he is unteachable. He is unteachable. He will not listen to reason. I was talking to Brother Kingsbury, and we were talking about ministry, and he said to me this. He said, Pastor Burns, he said, it's really hard to reason with unreasonable people. And that's so true. It's so true. This individual won't listen to reason. This individual, they won't even listen to the Lord. In fact, I find in my own experience that these types of people, they often want to change the Bible to line up with their life instead of change their life to line up with the Bible. These individuals are unteachable. This is an interesting thought. Someone said this, wise men change their minds, fools never. A wise man thinks all he says. A fool says all he thinks. Someone said it this way. They said, too often we change jobs, we change friends, or we change spouses instead of changing ourselves. That's so true. You know, God is working in our life to do his will and good pleasure. And the reality is that we ought to be individuals that are moldable, that God would work in our life and that we would change. And there ought to be areas in our life that God has been speaking to our heart, and we say, you know, this was my direction, and God moved me in this direction. The Bible says in this passage of Scripture that this individual, this foolish man, they're just unteachable. They're unteachable. Now, the contrast is that while the fool persists in his foolishness, the wise man will listen when he is confronted. I find in this generation that you know, people don't like rebuke. Now, I mean, it probably has been in many generations, but there's just something about the millennials that they have this attitude, don't tell me what to do. You can't tell me what to do. Who do you think you are? Well, I'm your boss. I sign your paycheck. Yeah, you know, I have the right to tell you what to do. And God definitely has the right to tell us what to do. He's our creator and he's our Lord. And so the wise man here, they're teachable. When they're confronted with the truth, they adjust their life accordingly. And the Bible teaches us all through the Bible that a foolish man turns away from rebuke. That if you rebuke a foolish man, then he's going to hate you. If you rebuke a wise man, he's going to love you. He's going to embrace that. You know why? Because he's going to grow. I listened to a podcast. I don't know if you know what a podcast is, but I listened to a podcast. And it was a Christian podcast. It was a businessman, one of the top businessmen in the United States. And he was asked how he got to become a CEO. And he was the longest CEO in a publicly traded company. Very difficult. A lot of people telling you what to do. And so he was one of the longest CEOs in a public traded company in the United States. And they were asking him, you know, how he became CEO, you know, what was the secret of his life. And he said, you know what, I grew. And I embraced when someone came beside me and rebuked me because I knew that they wanted to help me to become better. And I embraced that and I made changes in my life and that helped me to grow. Now, there are those who would rebuke from the flesh, and they're not trying to help you, they're trying to hurt you or harm you or hinder you. But you know when someone's trying to help you and direct you. A wise man is someone that learns and grows. Someone said, wise men learn more from fools than fools from wise men. And that's what being a wise man is all about, is being teachable and growing. So there's two kinds of people that are all around us. There are those that are teachable, and there are those who are unteachable. Thirdly, let's continue on. There are two consequences also listed in this life. So the Bible says in verse 16, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him. Now notice the response here. This is the understanding that is given. This is worldly understanding. Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Now that just has the world written all over it. That's the philosophy of our world today. And yet the Bible says in verse number 6, forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. So there's two consequences that we find. We see that one individual attends a feast. Now, wisdom spreads her table for those who would enter her house. She strengthens them. She satisfies them. She sustains them. And we find in this passage of Scripture that this is true for the person that walks in the Word of God, the one that is wise, the one that embraces rebuke, the one that wants to grow in the Christian life. They accept the Word of God, and if God confronts them through His Word and by His Spirit, they don't ignore it. They don't try to change the Bible. They change their life. They alter their life to line up with the Bible, and God blesses that. God blesses that. If there's any, you know, there's no secret to the Christian life, but if you want to have success in the Christian life, it's really simple. The hymn writer, he said it perfectly, trust and obey. That's the secret to the Christian life, trust and obey. Read Psalm 1. You know, delight yourself in the Word of God. It doesn't mean that you're perfect. It doesn't mean that you're always going to follow the Bible, but your heart is you want to follow the Bible. You delight, you meditate upon the Word of God. And God's blessing will be upon that person. So here we find that one attends a feast, and sadly we see the foolish man, he attends a funeral. And he's walking his own way. He's following his own pathway. He will not learn. He will not grow. He will not change his life. He does what he wants to do. And it's so sad. In the direction of his life, the Bible says in verse 18, but he knoweth not that the dead are there. It's a dead end. There's no success. There's no satisfaction. There's no blessing. God's blessing is not there. The Bible says the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. It's a sad reality. A rich man failed in business. He gathered up the fragments of his wrecked fortune and had only a few thousand dollars. He determined that he was going to go west and start anew. So he took his money and purchased a motorhome. He furnished that motorhome with the best that his money could buy. I mean, it was beautiful. It was the latest style. And then he headed on, stocked his motorhome with all he had, and headed on his journey. As he traveled to his destination, opened the door of his motorhome. He got to his destination, and he stepped out of that motorhome to start his new life. And then he realized one sad fact. You see, he was so busy investing all of his money in the motorhome that now he had nothing to begin his new life. And that's so many times the pathway of Christians. You know, I enjoy going to hotels. And our family loves going to hotels. And, you know, it's just a blessing to go to a room and knowing you don't have to clean it up when you're done. You know what I mean. And, you know, it would be silly for you to go to a hotel and knock on the manager's door and say, you know what, I really like to have this type of bed. I'm going to buy this bed if you could replace the bed. I'm going to buy this type of bed. And the manager would be like, oh, are you going to stay a while? No, just going to be here for a couple of days, but I really like this type of band. You know, while you're at it, I think I'm going to upgrade, you know, the shower, and I'm going to upgrade the television, you know, kind of get a bigger television. Oh, are you staying here for, no, just a couple of days. It would be foolish for you to invest all of that money to stay a couple of days. And yet that's what we do if we get tied up in this world. Because, friend, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. You know, God wants us to work hard. God says that those that were stealing, those that stole, steal no more. So that you have, so that you're able to give to those who don't have. You know, the reality is that this world is not our home. And it's foolish to live for this world. The Bible says that life is a vapor. James chapter 4, verse 4. Life is a vapor. It's here for a short time, and then it vanisheth away. The reality is we want to invest our life for eternity, that which will not fade away. And so the Bible says in this passage of Scripture, there is two invitations given. There's the wise man, follow the word of God, change, alter your life according to it. And God's blessing is found there. Satisfaction is found there. Or there's live for yourself. And there's following the course of this world. Three areas that is found in the world. The lust of the flesh. What's the rest of them? Lust of the eyes and the pride of life. It's just of the world. And the world, what? It's gone. And the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So we have to ask ourselves this question. Do we want work that's going to last? Or are we going to strive for something that's going to be gone? And really, it comes down to these two invitations. There's the invitation of the wise man, and the wise man takes effort. It's not going to meet you in the street. Now, you have to take effort to be wise. You have to follow the Bible. You have to come to church. You know, I find in our day, you know, it's convenient Christianity. If it doesn't cost me anything, David said, I'll offer nothing that costs the Lord nothing that costs me nothing. And then there's the foolish man. Oh, he's in the streets and he's everywhere. The reality, if we follow our flesh, if we follow that pathway of satisfying ourselves, then the Bible says, then this will be our destination. Two extremes, absolutely. But really, it defines life. It defines life. And God help us today to live for the Lord and not for ourselves. And God's blessing will be there to satisfy and help. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word tonight. I pray, Lord, it was a help. And Lord, I pray that it would be even a reminder to us of that pull of the world all around us. Father, I pray that you would help us to make good decisions in our life to live for you. And Father, may you be glorified in all that we say and do. And we thank you again for our time together tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.